Money FM 89.3, the best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
He's a CEO who plugs us into how high net worth individuals think about money. And that's why we love speaking with him. Jackson Ng is COO of Azimut Investment Management. He's chief operating officer, and he also ensures that he is at the forefront of cybersecurity challenges because he is chief technology officer. But he's here today to talk to us about two things nobody likes. So I'm curious to see how he has us leaning in on this topic. Nobody likes taxes. And nobody likes debts, but that's what we're talking about today, right, Jackson? Good morning.
Hi, Michelle. It's great to be back.
Good to speak with you again. So we're here to sort of understand how wealthy individuals differ in terms of the way they handle their taxes and debts compared to, say, men on the street, right?
I think there's a very common saying, there's two things that you can't avoid in life. They are death and taxes. But is that really the case? I think it depends, because the middle class pays a lot of taxes. The rich pays even more taxes. Mm-hmm. And the wealthy pay the least taxes among them, right? So why does the rich pay less tax? It's not like you automatically pay less tax because you become wealthy. It's more about how you become another group of people that allows you to pay less taxes. So we're going to go into that later on in the second part of the show. But first, I want to share an example of how the rich use tax and use debt to become richer. So this example, it's about, you know, maybe the top few richest people in the world, and then some of the famous people like Donald Trump, Robert Kiyosaki. Mm. And basically, bring you through a flow.
Okay.
So first, you have to own a business. Now you own a business, but you don't earn any income from the business. I'm not saying totally zero. There's some minimum that you need to hit. And then you receive stock options, meaning you receive shares from the business. Okay, so now the government come to you. They want to tax you. But you tell them, oh, you can't tax me because I have the shares, but they are unrealized gain. They are paper. They are on paper. So you can't tax me. Okay. So let's say you own an EV car business, for example. Mm-hmm. You are worth more than 200 billion, one of the richest in the world, and the government can't tax you just because you don't have it. Then one day you offer to buy a social media company, for example, and then the social media company costs you maybe more than $40 billion. But you don't have the cash because you don't receive income. You only receive the stock option. You don't have the cash. So now you walk into a bank or private equities to borrow money. What do you borrow with your shares? You put up your shares as a collateral. So now suddenly you have the shares. So if you take a step back and you look at the big picture, when the government want to tax you, oh, I don't have these shares, they are on paper, they are unrealized gains. And then when you want to buy something, oh, I have the shares, I can use that to borrow against it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that is the game that the rich, the wealthy is playing. And this is something that the average might not get the same access. But then from this chat, I hope that the audience can get something out of it to do something that is at a much smaller scale.
Yeah, because it's about how you think about taxes and what you can leverage in terms of your debt to help grow your wealth so you get to that position of super wealthy.
Correct. Right. And people always say, tax the rich. But it's difficult because in the first place, they don't have income. And this is called an income tax. So when you don't have an income, how do you even tax the rich? Mm. And coming from a government point of view, I mean, think about it. If you are a government, how do you want to tax the rich? Because they are bringing in employment, they are bringing in resources, economy growth, they are building real estate, and they are basically helping you become better. Mm-hmm. And And you trying to tax them will drive them away to another country. So from a government point of view, I think it's something that is reasonable. You don't want to tax the wealthy because they bring in resources in other way. They bring economic growth in other way to your country.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we won't get to the social equity argument because that'll be a whole different show. But I'm just going to stick to this idea that maybe we can shift our mindset about taxes and wealth, and that will help us men on the street. So let's look at taxes first, shall we, Jackson?
Yep.
The big picture of how do wealthy people see taxes versus, say, anybody on the street?
Okay, so when the wealthy talk about tax planning, right, it's not so much about maxing out their tax relief. It's not about taking courses to minimize your tax. And I always joke with my friends when, what is the best tax planning? To have more children. So there's always the...
Do you know how much it costs to raise a child?
Exactly. But again, there's also a max, a cap to tax relief.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So another way that is commonly known is hide your money in overseas country. And it's becoming...
We're not recommending that, by the way.
Of course. And it's becoming harder because now there's these common reporting standards, CRS.
So it's
becoming harder. But we are not talking about this when we talk about tax planning. Mm-hmm. So how the wealthy actually plan for their tax? I think Robert Kiyosaki, he gave a very good model or quadrant that we can look at. So he said that there's four ways to earn money, and there's three different types of income. So we talk about the four ways to earn money.
Okay.
First, of course, is you become an employee, mm-hmm. and then you earn a fixed income every month. Okay. Mm-hmm. So then that group of people, of course, you'll be taxed with the tax rate from the government. Another group, the second group, is to become a self-employed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third group is to become a business owner. The difference is that one has a entity behind it and another one doesn't. And of course, the one with the entity, you can do more planning in that sense. And then the fourth group is to become an investor. So basically, you own shares. You hold shares of company. And in this quadrant, you want to be in the last group to be the investors, to hold the shares. That is how you pay the least tax. Because just now we mentioned through the example, investors don't pay taxes on
unrealized gains,
the shares that they hold on paper. So when we talk about tax planning, it's not so much about the relief, it's not so much about moving your money elsewhere. It's more of moving yourself into another category, putting yourself in the quadrant that pays the least tax. Okay. And then he also mentioned that there's three types of income. First one is earned income. So earned income is earned by the employee, sometimes the self-employed. And then there's portfolio income. These are things that you earn from, let's say, the stock market and when you buy and sell shares. And then the third one is a passive income. So again, passive income means that you do nothing. You structure your financial plan properly, and you do the least to get the same amount of return. So in this category, again, you want to be on the last group. You want to be earning the passive income. So there's a lot of ways that you can earn the passive income. You can earn it through real estate, dividend, capital appreciation. These are mostly the things that you can do.
Jackson Ng is my guest. He's COO of Azimut Investment Management. He's also CTO of Azimut, which manages a set of funds and also actively managed certificates with a focus on Asian equities and fixed income. But we have invited him here to sort of be the wealthy person mind whisperer. You know, help us understand how the wealthy think about their money so that we too can adopt some of these mindsets. So big picture, we've talked about how the wealthy see taxes. Can you go a little bit deeper into the strategies of minimizing the tax burden?
Okay, I think in terms of strategy, the first and foremost, right, is you need to have a company. It's either a company, it can be different kind of corporate structure. You definitely need a company. Some of the wealthy individual use a trust. And basically, when you have a company, right, you have the ability to not give yourself an income. So you don't pay yourself an income. I mean, you do, but not as high. But you just pay something that is reasonably enough, mm-hmm. and then you take stock options from it, from the company. So you own the stocks of the company, and you, in that way, you put yourself in the investors category. So that allow you to, of course, do a lot of things with company. That is when you can do a lot of things, and the most important thing is, of course, to borrow against the company stocks, to borrow against the shares that you hold. So you use debt to get the tax-free money. And this tax-free money allow you to continue to live your life, or you can use it for investments. So okay. We're going to cover that more in the later session.
Okay, great. We don't typically talk about living your life off borrowed money on this show, you know, but I understand what you're talking about in terms of the general concept is you're leveraging your shares in this fourth quadrant as an investor to take on debt in order to maximize your possible income flows. Have I got that right?
Correct.
Okay.
Debt is a very interesting topic to me because you know, there's two classifications for debt. You can get a good debt and you can have a bad debt. Mm-hmm. So it's commonly known that when the middle class borrow money, it becomes a loan. It is called a loan. And when the wealthy people, individual borrow money, it is called leverage. So leverage is the key word in the debt. And when you can leverage, when you have something to put up as a collateral, mm. so it can be a stock and it can be something that you own, mm. some assets that you owned. So, of course, very important thing about using debt is that the debt is actually not risky if you use it correctly. So the debt is not risky, but the people using the debt is risky. So it's very important to remember that the goal of having a debt for how the wealthy people use the debt is to acquire more assets that allows you to do two things. First one, generate income. So you use assets to generate more income for you. And then another thing that you can do with assets is you can use them to borrow more. You can take on another debt that is stacked on the previous one. So why does the wealthy like debt? First, there's two reasons also why the wealthy like debt. First reason is because they can use the money that they don't have. So that's what we talk about, the leverage, right? And the second reason is debt is cheaper. So if you look at it from a personal or a company point of view, there's a few ways to get money, or rather cash flow, that you can spend on. First one is debt. You get money from debt. You get cash flow from debt. Another one is from your profit. And then the third one is from share capital. But out of these three things, right, debt is the cheapest, because debt is the cheapest because you just have to pay the interest rate in the market. So before the recent rise in interest rate.
Why is debt cheaper than profits, than using your profits?
Because when you want to have profit, when you want to earn profit, you need to spend a lot of expenses. You need to hire people, you need to spend on your overheads. So you are going to spend a lot of money to acquire profit. And same thing for share capital. What happens is that whenever you want to raise fund, what does the investor expect from you? 20% return, 15%, 10%, whatever it is, it's going to be more expensive than the debt that you're going to pay just the interest rate.
Interesting. So we've covered good debt, we've covered bad debt, we've talked about how the wealthy like good debt because they use it to as leverage points to buy asset-generating properties or asset-generating things.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
That's the problem I think people have. They're using their debt, they're going into options, for example, and then, you know, they're wiped out with one bad call. So can you talk a little bit about the strategic use of debt for, I suppose, high returns?
Yeah. So the wealthy individual and the average people, right, there's a very key difference in terms of using debt. The wealthy individual has this ability to borrow. We talk about the credit ratings of them. We talk about the assets that they can put out for collateral. They have the ability to borrow as compared to the average people. So, so that's why they can use this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to share a bit about an example.
That would be great.
Yep. About how debt can be used to help the wealthy people. So, you know, insurance. Most of us buy insurance, but the wealthy people actually don't buy insurance to protect their family when they die. What the wealthy people do with insurance is to use insurance to build them more wealth. There's a very important feature in the insurance policy, that is the ability to borrow money against it. So let's say today, I'm just giving a random numbers. Today, you are putting 100,000 into a life insurance.
Okay.
And then you get the death benefit, you get the investment and cash value out of it. And then there's an ability, there's a features that allow you to borrow up to, let's say, example, 80% of the value that you put into the life insurance. Okay. So that is about 80,000. Okay, so now let's say you put this 80,000 into another kind of assets called real estate, for example. Okay, what does real estate get you? Capital appreciation, your rental, if you rent it out. And then the good thing about having a mortgage is that you can probably in Singapore take out 70% of it. Against the real estate. So you put this real estate as the collateral and it takes out 70%, that is about 56,000. Okay. So let's say you go on 56,000, you put it into a stock account. You have a stock account, and then in this stock account it contains generally the safe stocks. Okay. And some of the banks allow you to borrow against such a stock account. You can leverage against such a stock account. Let's say 50% of it. So from 56,000, you can leverage for maybe 28,000 of the stock value that you own. So you see this structure, right, allows you to build a lot of money in between. You get your capital gain, you get, you know, the rental, the death benefits, and at the same time, you also continue to borrow against it and get the cash flow that allows you to put into another asset. So, I mean, this thing can go on forever. This is just an example, but this thing can go on into, let's say, investment in art, or you can even put it into the charitable foundation that you owned. And then, otherwise, what the wealthy people do, they can use it for their luxury.
Well, you better hope that at the end of all this leveraging, when you're putting it into that stock portfolio, that you haven't made bad choices there that wipes it out.
Correct. Right? You have to make sure that you don't make any bad choices in between this structure. And then another thing is, of course, we need to talk about interest, right? Because when you borrow money against all these assets that you have,
there's a price for the money that you're using.
Correct.
That's interest rate.
There's an interest behind it. So we live in a generally low interest environment, but we don't know where this can go. Right? It can go up. But then what the wealthy do about this, right? Mm-hmm. Is that the assets that you own, that you use the borrow money to buy, they will increase in value. Mm-hmm. Not all the time, but if you make the right investment, they will increase in value. And then you can take out a larger loan from the increased assets value to pay off the previous loan plus interest. And then you are good again. So what the wealthy do, right, is to go on forever until when they die. So that's why in this high net worth strategy, there's one strategy that is called buy, borrow, die.
Buy, borrow, die.
So basically, you buy the assets and then you
keep borrowing off it.
Correct. You borrow off it and then one day you just continue and then one day you die and then it ends.
This is great. Why doesn't anybody teach you this in school? These are the strategies that high net worth individuals use to grow their wealth. And you can't quite find it in any one book. You mentioned Kiyosaki. Where does he mention these four quadrants?
It's in one of his interview, I think.
It's one of his interviews. Yeah, okay. Because it's not in Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
No, he did a lot of interviews and I found it in one of the interviews.
Okay.
And I think this is very true because really comparing to the average like myself, I'm always thinking of new ways to save on taxes, but I realized that what you have to do is actually move yourself to another category.
Absolutely spot on. What are some practical and actionable tips you think that anybody listening in, they don't have the value, they don't have a wealth planner like you to, you know, anybody from Azimuth to help them out, but they want to get started on some of the insights that you shared today. What can they do today?
I think for an average individual, it's going to be harder because just now we talk about the ability to borrow. But then again, if you have a decent value from your house, that is something that you can use against. But then of course, to us, it's to the average, right? It's a lot of risk because there's a lot of uncertainty. But that's why in our first show we talk about the wealthy mindset, right? Because these are people who love the risk. They take calculated risk. Mm-hmm. And for the average, right, it's a bit harder to take the first step out because of the uncertainties that we might face. Mm-hmm. So what you can do is, okay, in terms of debt, right, it's pretty much the same thing, I think, because for myself, I can also borrow against my property value. And then it's a matter of where I want to put this money. But if I don't have anywhere else to put, then I might as well don't take a loan from it, right?
Mm, yeah.
So when you take a loan, right, you also have the burden of the interest. So that is something that you need to consider as well. If your life is not about, you know, investments and investments, then it might be a bit risky. But then in terms of taxes, it's a bit of planning, I think. Of course, what you want to do now, what you can do is to try to minimize taxes, but then you can explore other channels like maybe the donation or maybe setting up your own company and provide a consultancy services to other businesses. Once you have a company, that is the goal. And then from there, you can really do a lot of different tax planning to help yourself minimize taxes. Came at the right time. We just filed our taxes last week.
And, I know.
And you have a full year ahead to plan.
Oh, that's a very optimistic way of looking at it. I was looking at all the boxes I could check to save myself some taxes, I have to say. Oh,
there's some of the things that maybe I can contribute to the listener is that in Singapore, capital gain from property is not taxed. Okay. And then when you buy shares and you earn dividend from it, those are personal investments and they are not taxed. And then when you have payout from your insurance policy, these are capital receipts and it's not taxed. So those are the tax benefit that you have in Singapore. And if you want to increase your income without paying too much taxes. These are some of the channels, avenues that you can explore.
Very generous of you, Jackson. Thank you so much for helping us out. Any final words on the topic that you want to leave us with?
I think basically taxes and debt is something that make the average poorer because we have to pay tax and give away our money. And then these are also tools that at the same time make the wealthy richer. So today, I'm more of trying to share this idea that if you don't have income, you don't have to be taxed because it's called income tax in the first place. So And then debt can be your friend if you use it correctly.
Yeah, he came into the studio saying, debt is fun. And I said, what? Thank you very much for sharing a really interesting blueprint. I call him the high net worth whisperer, Jackson Ng, sharing some insights into how wealthy individuals view and manage taxes and debts compared to the average person. He's the CEO and CTO of Azimut Investment Management. Thanks so much, Jackson.
Thank you, Michelle.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.